it. I mean, do it upright. My wife, fortunately, doesn't like candy that much, so I get a big box of candy along with the flowers, and then I eat the candy, because, after all, it's the thought that counts. You know? But no, guys, that little bitty $5 bouquet is not going to cut it for Valentine's Day. So just, you're forewarned again. So ladies' night out, speak to Marcia if you're willing to help with the hostessing of the ladies' night out. Pick up your blank forms to fill in as soon as possible. Return them to Marcia for Secret Sisters. And then pick up the monthly gift list as well. And you'll be drawing names at the February meeting. And then notice we have we are in big time now. We've got a church website, PleasantPointCommunityChurch.com. Boy, you go on there, you see pictures of the church. You see me and Marcia's picture on there. And they've downloaded our sermons on there. And maybe one of these days, guys, we ought to just get a camera and just do all of that, be real fancy. But there we are, PleasantPointCommunityChurch.com. You ought to check that out. And so that's great. Would you remember in prayer, in addition to the prayer, Pastor Mike Clement from Scotts Bluff? This is the father of Steve and Esther Clement and several other little Clements. But Esther is our missionary to South Sudan, and Steve is missionary in South America. But their dad, Pastor Mike, was involved in a very, very serious car wreck earlier this week. He has already had surgery. He had a broken pelvis, and they have put one of those halo contraptions around to hold his pelvis together. He has several broken ribs and also concussion. So please remember Pastor Clement and his family. Also, Eugene Hayden, his family, Pastor Eugene Hayden's family. Eugene was sort of adopted by Marcia's parents, and they took him in for several years. He was like a big brother to Marcia and her sister. 69 years old, passed away suddenly in his home Saturday. Had some flu-like symptoms, went to the doctor. Doctor said, no, it's not the flu, sent him home. And when his wife returned home later, he had already gone to be with the Lord. And so there's a church in Mississippi this morning that are meeting without their pastor. So please remember the Hayden family and their church. Also, another pastor friend of ours we went to Bible college with is Buddy Hoffman. Brother Buddy has an aneurysm, and it's inoperable. And the doctors have put him on hospice care. And he's in his late 60s as well. Buddy is one of those guys that God has chosen and has used in a great way. He's one of these multi-campus pastors, a mega church kind of deal. 7 different campuses in the Atlanta area. Over which he is a pastor. And so remember the Hoffmans, if you would, please. He's on hospice care. So please remember these as well as others in our bulletin. Pray for our country and our new president. It's our responsibility to do so. All right, our memory verse, Isaiah 53:6. Isaiah 53:6. All right, let's start it. I'll start you on it and see if you can finish it. All we like sheep, oh, very good. Was that up there? No, okay. You did such a great job. All right. Very good. Now, next Sunday, we'll finish this one. We'll do this one again. And then the first Sunday in February, we will learn a new verse. You're doing so great. All we like sheep have gone astray. Well, how true that is. We've gone our own way, our own direction, but the Lord in His love laid the iniquity, our iniquity, on the shepherd. For our sakes, what a great God we have. Praise the Lord. Lay it on Him, the iniquity of us all. Missionary Spotlight is the Rainies with Mission Aviation Fellowship. Remember them in prayer, if you would, please. All right, let's stand together. 399, 399. Higher ground. Father God, help us to desire a closer walk with Thee. Symbolism in this song is so strong, to desire a higher place. Not higher in the sense of accomplishments, not higher in the sense of that sort of thing at all, but a closer walk with You, just a nearness to You. Father, help us to desire that. Help us to look for that a walk with You that leads continually closer into Thy presence and Your to experience the awesomeness of who You are, to realize what You have done for us. Sometimes, Father, we take it so lightly. It becomes almost glib when we talk about our salvation. Realize the depths from whence we have been brought up out of, delivered, cleansed, washed, made holy in Your sight, righteous, declared righteous in Your sight. What a wonder it is we can experience and know You as You are and draw closer to You each day. Father, we thank Thee for that. We thank You for everyone who's gathered today. We desire to worship You, and so help us to put aside the things that would distract us and focus upon who You are and whose we are. Help us this morning, Father, to worship You in spirit and in truth and from the depths of our hearts. May our worship begin and go beyond just our lips. May we truly seek to give You praise and glory because You alone are worthy. And Father, as we worship, we also intercede for others this morning. We think of the Clement family and their desire for Your hand to be upon Brother Mike. And we ask, Father, too, that You would give him healing, that You would encourage him there in the hospital, that You would be with the Hayden family, Bonnie and the boys and the children, and that you just would encourage them with the hope that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank you for Brother Eugene's testimony, his service to you, and the joy that is his now, having entered into your presence. Because for this we have Jesus, to face not only life's trials here, but the glory and the wonder of heaven, which is his this very moment. We thank thee. We pray also for Buddy Hoffman and his family, for his wife Jody, that, Father, they're dealing with this as true children of God, anticipating your power in whatever you choose to do, to give healing, which you are capable of, but if you choose not to do so, he's looking for a grand entrance into your presence as well. So we pray for these and others. We lift them to you at this time.
Lord, may we leave our burdens and the words we want to the altars, that we can have an unbridled power of worship and praise and learn. And remind us not to fix us up from the beginning.
And Father, we pray for our nation this morning. We're going through a great transition in administrations. And there's much unrest in our nation, not knowing on the one hand what to expect. There's fear. There's perhaps fear where there need be no fear. And yet it just shows the direction that our nation has gotten to. We're at this place of great division. We pray for wisdom for our leadership, for our president and vice president. We ask that you would work through their lives for our good and ultimately for your glory. We know also, Father, the times in which we are living. They are difficult times worldwide. You said in the last days we would see these things beginning to come to pass, and that our responsibility in these last days is to watch and to wait, but also to work, to be busy about your business. So may we not sit idly back as if the Messiah has come, for he has not yet come, but will come, and we are anticipating that. But until then, we are living here, and we ask for your help. We ask for your wisdom. We ask for your guidance. We ask for that we would be testimonies to all who are about us, and we would show your love to each other. Meet with us this morning, Father, according to your promise. May we worship you, and let us, as the psalmist says, I was glad when I went into the house of the Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's see. Where am I? Oh, yeah, scripture. Okay. Who's reading the scripture this morning? Daniel, do you have your glasses or do you need to borrow mine? Okay.
Okay, let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verses 24 through 28. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. May the Lord add his blessings. Let's bow for prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your word. It shows us how we were created. It shows us that we are sinful man that needs a Savior. Thank you for Jesus that came along for us, that he saved. If we ask, we can be saved of our sin and walk with you, Lord. We pray, Lord, that we may grow in you each day and get to know you better. We pray for our country that there will be a great revival spread across America. We thank you so much, Lord, and we pray for the offering that's going to be taken this morning. Help that it'll be used for your further of your word, and there'll be more people get to know you around the world. Thank you so much for today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Invite you this morning to stand with us if you're able as we continue praise and worship this morning.
Lord of all.
Father, that we are held in your love. Through your strength and our weakness, Father, we can depend on you. For every cloud, every circumstance, Father, we don't know what it's like yet. But Father, when it comes, we'll have the confidence through Jesus Christ. Thank you for it. Praise you, Father. Thank you this morning.
Tremendously powerful God we serve. We just, you know, carries over from Sunday school. This song is When He Beckons Me Home.
When my work
Started out so well, beautiful singing, good crowd. Thanking the Lord for everything, all that He's done. He deserves praise, always deserves our praise. Amen. Brother Hughes, come ahead. Shuck the corn, brother.
Thank you. Well, again, it's just amazing to be home. It's so great to always come home. Thank you for making Pleasant Point Community Church in the Sandhills home for Deb and I, that we get to come back here. What a great, great, great family we have. We're grateful. As soon as the projector warms up again, they're going to show you a picture. Quick summary, 10 years ago was the last time we were here. We were just getting started with our church plant in Custer. And that church, is up and going and doing really, really well. They're really impacting their community for the cause of Christ. And y'all had a part of that. You were all part of that as we were able to plant that church there. It's kind of fun. Where Deb and I live now is in the mountains of Wyoming. And lots and lots of country kind of people, and we attend a little country church up there that is not much bigger than the platform here, and usually there's 12, 13, 14 of us there, and that's the congregation. It's an Episcopal church, so we have a great mission field. This is the place where we live. The timber's that thick all over it. I've cut down about 120 trees, and I'm not even half done yet to get it to where we can use the ground a little bit. But last year our whole crew got together, and so those of you that have known us for, it's been 27 years since we started here, almost 28 years that we came to Pleasant Point Community Church. So Mandy on the far right was our eldest, is still is, and her little sister Cammy is right next to her, and then that's Cammy's husband in the white cap, and then TJ with the scruffy face there. You remember kicking, screaming, TJ? Well, there he is. He's a big feller now. Really grew up. His wife, Katie, is just to the right of him there. Is that blue color? Okay, thanks, sir. And then Mandy's oldest, Hannah, has the little headband thing on. Her and her cousin Noah, who is Cammie's oldest, in the sweatshirt there, they both graduated from high school last year and are both freshmen in college this year. That's how old y'all are getting. And Cammie's middle boy, Colin, is in the black T-shirt there. And then Hunter, Mandy's middle boy, got the cap on. 3 years ago, our family, 4 years ago, 2 years, it's been 3 years ago, our family adopted three girls from Ethiopia, and they live with the Hopkins, with Cammie and Jeremy. They are absolute sweethearts. And Freya Watt is right beside Hunter with the cap on. Oh, is that Mushy? Okay, that's Marchette, sorry. She's the oldest of the three girls that they adopted. And Jaron is Cammie's youngest boy. They're that big, man, you ought to see how he beefed up this year. Whoa, he's a big boy. And then Freya Watt is next to him. And then a couple years ago, Mandy and Hannah and Hunter adopted Skylar, who is right between the two girls with different complexions there. That's Mandy's youngest with the glasses. And then Cammie's youngest is Taraqua. And then TJ and Katie's oldest, or no, that's their middle daughter, Neela. Okay, so that's Everin, and then Neela, and then Griffey in the yellow shirt there. And I don't know who the old fat boy in the back is, but it was a photo bomber of some kind. But that's our crew, since y'all knew us when we came here with three little kids, and that's where we're at, and we're rejoicing for that. Thanks, guys. You can shut that off, and appreciate the help. But a lot of things have changed since then. I was reading my Utmost for His Highest devotional. I've read that every year for 30-plus years now. That's how dumb I am. I can read the same devotional for 30 years in a row, and it doesn't change any. It continues to impact my life every time I read it. So pretty simple between the ears, you know. But January 3rd, I opened my Utmost for His Highest devotional, and there was a quote marks around a portion of the passage for that day, and it said, read at Pleasant Point Community Church, 1990. So there it was, and I was like, wow, it's so cool. I'm going to get to go back and see those brothers and sisters and pray. And I want to just stop for a second and thank Pastor and Marcia for your years of very impacting ministry here in this community. It has been a great blessing. Having had a little bit of interest in this community, it's been such a blessing that you two have been. So I think they deserve a hand. I really do. And praise God. Praise God. And I want to thank again to the ladies yesterday. It was a men's retreat, but it was a ladies' performance. As always, thank you, dear ladies. I think I only got one piece of pie, though, and I'm not sure that... When we were pastoring in Sioux Falls after we left here, they had this big doings one day, and it was... I think I had a birthday or something, and there were all these cakes. I said, oh, for one sandhill pie. I'd trade them all. But you ladies did really well yesterday. Pastor, I, as these folks can tell you, I'm not a really good, well, I'm not a student at all. I'm a very poor student because I don't get things done like they should ought to be. I was the guy that was staying up at midnight when I was a senior with a broken arm, and typing on the computer one finger at a time, trying to get my last thesis done for graduation, you know, and all those kind of things. But when you sent me the email several months ago and said, would you pray about this? And we did, and the Lord said, yeah, go for it. They'll teach you something. And so I started, okay, God, what? And man, I've got scribbled notes, outlines on 47 different sheets of paper of what I was going to share yesterday. About Tuesday, God said, scrap it all. Here's what I want to say. So that's what we did yesterday. I had an outline of what I really thought was going to be a great sermon today. Man, it was one I've done before, so I rehearsed and everything was good. And about 4 o'clock this morning, he said, same passage, different approach. So let's see what he does, shall we? Genesis chapter 1, the passage that Dan read for us just a little bit ago. Genesis chapter 1. And in this passage, I think there's way more than we could ever begin to unpack in our few minutes together. But it is such an immensely powerful passage that says, here's your God. This is your God. And He wants to know you. I think that's what Genesis 1, 2, and 3 say. 1 and 2 especially. Here is God of the universe, and He wants to know you. He wants you to get to know Him. To me, it's one of the most evangelistic passages of all the Scriptures. And it's the very first one in our English Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verses 24 through 27. Then the Lord God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things. And I thought it was kind of a good thing to read that verse today about the cattle. You know, it's like, yeah, that's how they got here. Well, you all know, and we know, and we talked about it yesterday, that there's a lot of cattle on the hills in the sand hills, and God owns every one of them. They're all His. Don't think so. Just try to take one away from Him sometime. Just tell Him, I'm not giving you my cattle. And see how many you have left at the end of the year. When we were getting ready to graduate from school in Phoenix, I told him, I said, God, I'll go anywhere you want to send me, just not Nebraska. I did. I said, Lord, I can't go there. I just can't do that. He said, you want to bet? And it was the best thing that ever happened to us, or one of the best. So, verse 25, and God made all the beasts of the earth, and after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And I think here we just see that God is a God of order. Everything has its own kind. You are a special kind of church community. There are very, very few Pleasant Point Community churches scattered throughout this country. You are a very special kind of church family. And different churches are different kinds of churches, but they're all part of the same kind, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're all part of His bride. So there's order in God's kingdom. Nothing happened out of chaos, as you know, if you're edumacated at all through our public system, high school, college, university, grad school, all those kind of things, you've been overly edumacated that all of this just randomly happened. It was just a beautiful thing. It just all came together, and look at it. Well, it all happened because God said, let there be, and my Bible says it was so. It was done. It was complete. It was finished. It was done. So anyhow, he goes on. And then verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image. Let us. From the very beginning, our triune God was a team. And to the very end of this world system, they are a team. I think it's just totally amazing that they are such a perfectly succinct team. That God the Father, Jesus said, He's in charge. Everything I do is because he told me to do it. Everything I say is because he told me to say it. And Jesus comes to this earth, and he's crucified. He dies on the cross after his years of ministry. He's buried. He's resurrected. And he goes back to heaven. He says, oh, wait, before I go, I'm sending you the rest of the team. I'm going to send you my Spirit. And he will indwell you. He will live within you. He will live among you. As I've lived among you, he's going to live within you. Wow. Wow. And God is always at work within our life. But God, one person, yet three persons. One person, yet three functions. I can't get my little brain around it. I can't totally describe the Trinity to you. It's like an egg with the shell and the yolk and the white. And if I give you the shell and give you the white and give you the yolk, which one of you has the egg? No. It's the egg when it's complete together. But no, those are all part of the egg. And I don't understand all that. And there's been a lot of professors try to make my little brain absorb it. And it's like, but you know what? I know it's true. When I was in Phoenix, I used to ride the city bus to campus every day because we only had one vehicle and Deb needed it. And so I'd ride the bus to this earth. He said, guys, I got to go because it's better for you if I go. But because I'm going to send you a helper. Ladies, I don't think God really created us male and female equal all the way across. I think he favors his daughters, just like all daddies do. Because I find so many places in the scriptures where he gives his daughters a special promise. That he doesn't give to us, his sons. Never in the scriptures do I know of a place, pastor, help me, professors, help me, but I don't know of another place in all of scripture, another person that the word helper is used of other than Adam's helpmate and the Holy Spirit. I don't know of any place in scripture where he says, hey, guys, you're going to be like the helper, the Holy Spirit. No. But to his daughters, he says, I'm going to give Adam a helper. And she's going to be a picture. She's going to be a picture. She's going to be a pre-made photo of the Holy Spirit that I'm going to give to my bride. As she's a helper, she's going to be a helper. Wow. I don't know. To me, I'm not a lady, as you can tell. And every guy says, wow, thank God. But isn't it pretty cool, ladies, that you get to be a picture of the Holy Spirit that God will one day give to his bride as her helper, its helper? Wow. You ladies get to be that picture of that. And as Eve was created and given to Adam as his helper, she was the one suitable for him. We just read that. Let me make him a helper that's suitable. I think it's really, really cool that God didn't say, help me, I'm going to make him a helper, and every woman from here to the end of time will be just like her. They're all going to look alike, act alike, they're going to be. No, he said, I'm going to make a helper suitable for him. 45 years in June, guys. 45 years in June since God gave me a helper. And she had to be a really good helper because... Yeah. And if you get to sit here beside a bride, God has given you a helper suitable for you. And she has a specific role in your life. And she's equal in every way in the imagery of God. But we live in a culture that has distorted that to a point of where men and women are equal in everything. And I don't think that was ever our Father's design. I don't think that's ever really what God wanted us to be, was say, we're all the same. If God wanted everything the same, why did He create with so much variety in the beginning? Why in His creative order was there so much variety if He wanted everything to be the same? Why didn't He say, well, that's a tree, good enough. All trees can look like that. No, He made trees after their own kind, but there's all different kinds of trees because He likes variety. And I don't think He created a male and female in His image and said, well, forever they're going to be the same. You look at us and we're different in our form. We're different in our appearance. We're different in our emotional makeup. There's a lot of things that men and women are different. I don't know about you guys, but I'm really grateful. Because if I'd have been married to me, there would have been a funeral a long time ago. I'm so grateful that she's the absolute opposite of me. Because she brings completion into my life. But as we talked yesterday, everything that God does as the creator, Satan tries to do as the counterfeiter. And if God says Eve's going to bring completion into Adam's life, Satan said, oh, no. I'm going to use her to bring competition into his life. Genesis chapter 3. Before that, I want to go back to 2:19. I skipped something real quick. Ladies, here again is something very, very different. And I didn't notice it for years and years and years. And then one day during the study, 2:19 was like, whack. Genesis 2:19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field. Is that what your Bible says or something close to that? Are we close? And every bird of the sky, and brought them to the man who we know previously. He had formed him out of the dirt as well, right? Out of the dust of the ground. Where did Eve come from? She came out of Adam's rib, right? Ladies, I finally figured out why you don't like dirt. Because you're not made of it. In that, yes, you are, in that she came out of Adam and he was made of dirt. But all of these things are created out of, formed out of dirt. And God sets them alive until it comes to Eve. Says, son, I'm going to knock you out. And he puts Adam to sleep. And out of Adam's side, not out of his head so she'd be over him, not out of his foot so she would be under him, but out of his side so she'd be close to his heart, God takes a rib, and out of that rib he fashions woman. She didn't come out of a dirt pile like all the rest of us and all the creatures out there. She came out of flesh, to bear flesh. He created you differently, but still in his image, his likeness. You are very, very, very special to your heavenly Father. God has the first marriage. Is that okay to say that, Pastor? In Genesis 2, God performs the first marriage. And Adam and Eve were naked, and they were not ashamed. They weren't the least bit embarrassed about it. Because there was no shame in the world. There was no fear in the world. There was no sin in the world. They're like, well, I don't think Adam probably says, wow, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. I think he woke up and he says, whoa, man. And they went on from there. So anyhow, Adam and Eve are married. And now for the first time that I'm aware of, anywhere mentioned in Scripture, for the first time, he's been here the whole time. I think he's been in the background the whole time. But now all of a sudden, there's a relationship between a man and a woman who shows up for the very first grand entry. Satan. Genesis chapter 3. Until there was a relationship to destroy, he sat back here waiting for a chance, waiting for an opportunity, waiting for his moment, is my opinion. But he waited and waited and waited. And Adam named all the animals and he said, this isn't it. And Adam went through this whole process of watching God do these different things and Adam this and Adam that and Satan just, eh. And then Eve shows up and Adam and Eve are welded together as one flesh. And he says, now's my turn. Now's my opportunity. Genesis chapter 3. And he sneaks up alongside of Eve and doesn't scare her the least little bit because Eve doesn't know fear. Eve has no idea what the word fear means. And he walks up alongside of her, I think. I don't think he crawled up as a snake yet at this time. He walks up alongside of her and he says, hey, babe. Well, no, maybe he didn't say that way. I'm not sure. But he says, hey, has God really said, you shall not eat from any tree in the garden? Are you sure that's what God said? In the Garden of Eden, Satan planted a seed of doubt. In the Garden of Eden, he planted a seed of doubt. And he watered it and cultivated it and let it grow. Let's see. Yeah, there's a door here and one there. Okay, so I'm going to ask a question that I may have to run afterwards and hide, and I'll meet you in the pickup, babe. Why Eve? Why did he go to Eve? Why? Haven't you ever stopped to contemplate that, reading this passage? Why did he go to Eve? Let's answer it by looking at I think, 7 points real quickly. Man, Pastor, your clock runs really fast here. I don't know what the deal is. Ah, you're a sweetheart, my man. Make sure Pastor gets that piece of pie I was drooling over, okay? I want to highlight some things that the Lord brought into this old gizzard mind at 4 o'clock this morning. Before the fall, Adam was the head of the household, I think, for these reasons. Creative order. Who was created first? Adam. Representation. Adam, as the first husband, is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, Ephesians 5. Here's one that caught me off guard when I did this study, and I had to talk with a couple different professors and say, hey, am I getting led astray or where? And John Piper was one of those professors, I'll admit it. Look at Genesis 1:5 real quick, and just stay on the page with me, and we're going to go down. Genesis 1:5, and God called the light day. Was it light? Was it day? When God called the light day, was it day? Yeah. Why? Because God named it. God said so, right? Who gave him the authority to do that? Who said he could pick that? I wanted to pick that. No, God had the authority. He said, let the light be day. Verse 1:8, and God called the expanse heaven. He named it. 2:19, separated them, and it was evening, and it was day, or morning the same day. That's not it. God saw that it was good, and it was evening, and it was day, but God called it day. Let's, verse 20, God said, let the waters teem with swarming animals. By whose authority did he say that? By his own authority. Did he have authority to do that? Absolutely, he had authority to do that. 24, God said. 2:23, God said. God made, God did. And then we get over to Genesis 2:23, and what happens? And the man said, "Now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, she will be called woman." His representation of authority to name woman. Just as God had authority to name the creatures, and before that, when God told Adam to name the animals, what does it tell us? Whatever Adam named them, that is their name. Till this day, right? By whose authority? By the authority that God had placed him as the head of the household. And that's all before the fall. None of that is... Man didn't bestowed the headship over headship of the household after the fall. This is all pre-fall, every bit of it. But the one who was doing the naming was the one who had been given the authority to do so. Accountability, Genesis 3:9. Adam and Eve eat the forbidden fruit. God comes and says, "Eve, what are you doing?" Right? No, Genesis 3:9. "Then the Lord God called to the man," and it's singular masculine in its gender, "and said to him, 'Where are you?'" Adam, what's going on here? Accountability. He didn't hold Eve accountable. He held Adam accountable. Purpose. We just studied a little bit ago. Eve was created to be Adam's helper. Adam was never. We're never told that Adam was given to Eve to be her helper. Their purpose is designed differently. Conflict. Chapter 3, verses 14, 15, 16. What happened? It's the woman you made. No. It's the snake that you, or the serpent that you made. God, this is all your fault. For the first time, there was conflict in the garden. That's post-fall. That's after the fall. But everything else is pre. So the curse is one thing I want to look at just a little bit more in depth. The curse that was given was an alteration of what had been experienced. Adam and Eve had not experienced to the degree that they were about to the things that were listed in the curse. Look at 3:16. "To the woman he said, 'I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth.'" Ladies, gee, I thought somebody would say, "Amen." It hurts to have a baby, I've been told by many beautiful ladies. I think there was pain before. There was going to be pain before Adam and Eve giving birth. It was always going to hurt. You can't do that to a human body without it hurting. But God said, "I'm going to greatly multiply it. It's going to be worse than what I'd intended it to be. It's going to hurt even more so." And then he goes on, the end, "In pain you shall bring forth children, yet your desire shall be for your husband." And I will admit to you, for years I read that and I thought it was sexual. No, not at all. Not at all. Look over at chapter 4. Exact same word, "The desire shall be for your husband." Chapter 4, Cain and Abel are out in the field. Cain kills his brother. But in verse 7, well, let's start with 6, I'm sorry. "Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you." It's the exact same word from Genesis 3:16. Exact same word. Eve, just as sin is crouching at the door of Cain's life and wants to rule over him, Eve, from this moment on, your desire will be to rule over your husband. Eve, the curse is going to be that from now on there's going to be conflict in your home because your desire is going to be the head, which up to this time he has been. Wow. 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 That's a heavy one, guys. Eve, you're his helper, honey. Honey, I know you're both naked, but it's a beautiful thing. Go be his helper. Satan plants a seed of doubt in her mind. She takes the bait. And now there's conflict. Instead of being his completer, she's now his competer. Right? She's no longer the woman that brings completion into his wife. She's now the woman who competes in his wife. Loved ones, over the last 30 years of ministry, I don't even want to guess how many thousands of marriages I've helped counsel. And it always comes back to who's in charge around here. When we get all the onion, the leaves peeled off the onion, we get down to the core, what they're really fighting about is who is the head of this household. And after the Lord had given me some insight into this passage, or some understanding of what he already knew about it, it was like, wow, here's one of the most amazing passages for a dear lady that's struggling in her marriage. Sit down and really read this and understand this. And when you hate his guts, guess whose team you're on? When you don't want to be around him anymore, guess whose team you're on? You're no longer that beautiful girl that brings completion into the household. You're now Satan's tool that brings competition into the household. And unfortunately, our culture applauds it. Unfortunately, our culture applauds even within the church. On the playground of any grade school in the United States of America, boys and girls are spitting back and forth at each other, and one of the girls will say, "Boys drool and..." Anything a man can do, a woman can do. Isn't it amazing how we've brought that right into our church? The one place that should be different, the one place that should be separate, we've brought it into the church and said, "Yeah, that's pretty cool, huh?" No, it's not. No, it's not. Because it's conflict. Where there's supposed to be completion, we now have competition. Where before the fall ever happened, God said, "Adam, you're the head. Act like it." Ephesians chapter 5, Jesus says, "I've brought you a new covenant, and we're going to do everything different from now on. Everything's going to be by grace and love and mercy. And by the way, guys, you're no longer the head of the bride." Is that what Ephesians 5 says? No. "Husband, you shall be the head of the wife, just like Jesus Christ is the head of the church." Brother Paul, I think one of the reasons we, the church, evangelical church in America, one of the reasons we aren't a threat to Satan or our culture is we've cut off the head. And it's so good to come back to Pleasant Point Community Church and to see the head alive and well. Thank you. Praise Jesus. I told you, you're all kind of a different group of people here. You allow Jesus Christ to be the head of the church. Wow. I was part of a Bible study of five men in Sioux Falls for 10 years. We studied every Wednesday morning. We met together and we got extremely close. And we got so close that we would cut on each other every now and then. If a brother was out of line, we'd challenge him on it. They would challenge me on it. If we were behaving inappropriately, if we were making inappropriate comments, somebody in the group would say, "Uh-uh, that doesn't honor Christ. We're not going there." Well, we'd met together, and Deb and I were getting ready to leave to go to Custer to plant the church there. And it was about 3 or 4 studies before we were leaving. And we were studying this passage together. And I said, guys, what do we do? Wayne Mielke, very, very quiet. Didn't, by far, the quietest guy of the whole group. Looked at me and there was tears running down his face. And he says, what have we done? I said, what do you mean, Wayne? He said, every man in this group has raised daughters. Which we had. He said, every man in this group has raised our daughters to be strong and independent and to take no guff off of no man. Which we had. And he said, we've been working against the Spirit of God. Not with. 1 Peter. And I will shut up and let you all go home because you have things to do or turn you back to your loving pastor. I beat him up, pastor. You're going to have to patch him up, okay? Sorry. 1 Peter chapter 3. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that in any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by your behavior, by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Let your adornment not be merely external, and braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry and putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable, which with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit. And here's one of those kickers where God loves you girls more than He loves His boys, or He spoils you, which is precious in the sight of God. Isn't that a great promise, girls? Isn't that a great promise? You live with your husband with a gentle and a quiet spirit. The absolute opposite of how the world has taught you to spit in their face and to challenge them and to rule over them. If you'll live with them in a gentle and quiet spirit, honey, I'll change his heart. Isn't that what God said? I'll change his heart because you are so precious in my sight. You're daddy's little girl. And I love you so much, honey. And you live with him as I've designed it. I'll change his heart, dear. Don't argue with him. Don't fight with him. You just show him your gentle and quiet spirit. I will change his heart. Because you can't, sweetheart. You can't do it. Nobody can change a man's heart but Almighty God. And he says, honey, you live with him according to my principles. You be his helper. You be his completer, not his competer. I'll change his heart. And you'll get to see him come to me or come back to me. And it'll all because you and I work together. One of the things that Deb and I have both sensed God leading us into as we walk through this next chapter of our lives of Man in the Mountain Ministries, is that we have accommodations now that we're ready to say we would love to be a part of Women in the Wilderness, a ministry arm of a man in a mountain, where you ladies, or you could bring a daughter or a daughter-in-law, or a group of ladies, and you can come to the mountain, and for 3 days we're going to walk with you through 1 Peter chapter 3 and allow God to speak into your lives as we've seen Him do with men. Because ladies, here's a simple fact. I can take any group of these men you want to send to the mountain. I feel very confident in how God has put all this together. We can go up there and we can spend our 3 days on the mountain, and these men will catch a fire for God. And they'll catch a fire for their spouse and for their family. And they'll come home and say, wow, I've got to lead my family. And unless you as his wife let him, it's done. It's over. We can build a fire in him and we can turn him on for the cause of Jesus Christ, and he'll come home. And if you dump a blanket on him like Scott did me that day at school, It's done. It's over. Why did Satan come to Eve instead of Adam? Over the years, you've listened to a lot of Hughesisms. I want to give you one more. I guess it's two, but it's one thing, okay? The reason, I really think the reason that he came to Eve was because he knew that she was more easily influenced. 1 Peter chapter 3, he goes on, and Peter says to the husbands, live with your wife in an understanding way as a weaker vessel. And we've always had to try to interpret that she doesn't have the muscles that the man does. She's not as physical. That could be part of it. But I think she's weaker because she's more in tune with her emotions. Her emotion. If a man has 10 points of emotions, 10 contact points, a woman has 100. Right? You girls are more in contact with your emotions. That makes you more easy to influence. And especially with words. You ever notice that? See, you know why pornography isn't all that big of a deal to women? Because they're not visually motivated. Men are. Oh, but you bring a silver-tongued devil up next to your teenage daughter and you watch what he can talk her into. Satan walked up to Eve and said, did God really say, are you sure your dad meant? Women respond to audible. And they don't tend to sit and say, well, let's see now, if this is this, here's the ramifications, and we're going to go. They don't go through the systematic thought pattern of most men. They say, well, it just felt like the right thing to do. It just felt like that was what we were supposed to say. And that makes you a weaker vessel, dear lady. That's why you need a male head, is because of his logic. How many of you ladies have sat down with your husband and said, honey, I need to talk with you about something? He says, great. And then at the end of it, you say, honey, I don't want you to fix me. I just want you to listen. Familiar? God created a male and female. Not wrong, just different. And the second reason that he went to Eve, one, because she was more easily influenced. Two, because she was way more influential. There isn't a man in this congregation that wouldn't be quicker to be at peace with his wife than with his God. See, that's why Peter says, don't dazzle him with your looks only. Make sure it's in here too. Make sure the beauty comes from in here. Because that's what's going to change his life. You might catch him with your looks, but you're not going to keep him there. Because guess what, girlfriend? 40 years, you look in the mirror and you'd say, where did it go? And if you don't have this, he's apt to go. Ladies, I hope I haven't offended you or hurt you, but I hope I've challenged you. I hope the Spirit of God has spoken to you and helped you to realize that you are not to be his competer. You are to be his completer. You are to be the one that says, you know, honey, right now, I love you immensely. Don't like you a whole lot, but I love you completely. And I'm your best cheerleader. I'm here with you through all of this. Let's walk together as we walk with Christ, and let's walk through this. Father God, thank you for these dear, dear people. And Lord God, I pray that you will continue to pour your grace upon Pleasant Point Community Church. Father God, continue to beautify her for your glory and for the help of all those that this ministry will touch over its years as your bride. Heavenly Father, thank you that you designed this thing we call marriage. And that by your design, we get to bring joy to you. as we live together in harmony as husband and wife. Oh, Lord God, you know I'm going to open my big old mouth every now and then and say something I shouldn't. And yet by your grace, your daughter says, come here. Because I love you. Because your Father loves you. Father God, I thank you for Pastor and for the beautiful bride you've given him and for the great helper that she is and for the example she is to all these other ladies. Lord, please keep her safe and continue to nourish her and strengthen her. And may her husband be a strong head. Not strong-headed, but a strong head. As he follows you, as he listens to you, as he worships you, as he adores you, then he has something to take home to his beautiful bride. Lord, help each of us as husbands to remember that, that only as we worship the bride, or worship as the bride of Jesus Christ, can we really go home and love the bride you've given us during our earthly journey. And Lord, we all know that one day you're going to call the breath out of our life. And we will stand before you and we will give an account of that done in the flesh, whether good or evil. Lord God, I pray for the people in this congregation today. That'll be a very good day. Praise you in Christ's name. Amen.